This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
The following program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Finally, show with the balls and call it like it is. Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Countdown to audio torture.
The Rated R Safety Show starts in 3, 2, 1.
Let the eardrum pain begin.
Forget the corporate bullshit. This is the Rated R Safety Show with your host, Dr. It doesn't matter who the host is.
Oh, yeah. To same old, same old. You know, it does not really matter who the host is. Today is Wednesday, April the 22nd of 2020, day 113 of the year, and only 253 days remaining if everything goes as we continue to do. Anyways, how are you doing today? How are things going on in your neck of the woods? Are you enjoying the life and times of quarantine if you're in a quarantine state? Or are you excited that potentially, depending on where you're located, some of your state could be opening? I don't know. How are you taking a look at it? Besides that, how are things going on? How are things moving and grooving? What is going on in your neck? So before we go into the deep dark webs, as I like to call them from time to time, let's take a listen from our friends from Feature Story News.
Bringing you information you never knew you cared about. Rated R Safety Show.
News in London, I'm Stuart Smith. India's Council for Medical Research says that about 80% of all cases who have tested positive for COVID-19 are asymptomatic. In a country of 1.3 billion people, this is worrying health experts, but authorities seem more relaxed. Ishan Garg has more from New Delhi.
Health officials in India are now concerned about a silent outbreak. This means that the novel coronavirus could be infecting more people than are being reported. Indian authorities still maintain that there is no countrywide community transmission. Health experts are concerned that India is not testing widely enough and is relying entirely on contact tracing. India's health secretary says this is not a cause of worry since most asymptomatic cases are not spreaders. But with cases in India doubling every 10 days, the government is slowly expanding testing. Ishan Garg, New Delhi.
The UK government is facing fresh questions over the time it took to join an EU scheme to source key medical equipment. British officials initially insisted they did not receive an invitation, but Brussels claims the UK was given ample opportunity to take part despite leaving the European Union in January. Benji Hyer brings us the details.
Last month, the government was criticised for refusing to join a European plan to purchase potentially life-saving ventilators, protective equipment and testing kits that could be used to battle coronavirus. At the time, Downing Street said the UK was making its own arrangements because the country's no longer in the EU. Officials here later issued a statement stating the UK had actually been invited to take part, but they did not see the email because of a communication confusion. On Tuesday, though, when asked why the decision was taken not to join the mass procurement, the permanent secretary at the Foreign Office told MPs that it was in fact a deliberate move by ministers. Just hours afterwards, that was directly contradicted once more by the health secretary, who clarified there'd be no political decision. In any case, the EU scheme is yet to deliver supplies of either ventilators or personal protective equipment. Benji Hyer, London.
Germany's Bundesliga Football League hopes to return to action in the second week of May, although the matches will be played without spectators. However, the plan faces some opposition as the country continues to grapple with the coronavirus pandemic. Ira Spitzer has more from Berlin.
The Bundesliga hasn't played a match since the middle of March, and forfeiting the season would result in losses for the clubs of more than $500 million. The league's plan to finish the season with no spectators would allow the teams to hold on to lucrative broadcasting and sponsorship deals. However, the plan has also been met with some criticism. For example, players and staff would be steadily tested for the coronavirus, raising concern from the head of the country's health institute, who said there was no reason special groups should be given priority. Ira Spitzer, Berlin.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
We are now video streaming the Rated R Safety Show.
I don't know why our host has a face for radio.
Rated R Safety Show.
We at Safety FM are not responsible for what this idiot behind the microphone is saying.
He is trying to be entertaining.
Rated R Safety Show.
So offensive sometimes. I just don't get it, man. So anyway, so here's what you just heard on Feature Story News. I'm sure also as well that if you do pay attention to the different items that are available online, taking a listen to the different news stories, that is some of the stuff that you actually get to take a listen to if you listen to the morning news, do some of your own research, vet some of the stories, that kind of fun stuff. So let's go ahead and take our deep dive into my garbage version of the news.
Here is the news on the Rated R Safety Show.
So anyways, taking it from the top of the hit list, you probably heard this story. We talked about it at the very top of the hour yesterday when we're actually doing the show. Authorities in Canada have increased the death toll from the weekend's mass shooting to 23. At least 5 home fires were started during the rampage, which occurred across 16 houses. A motive still has not been determined, and the investigation is expected to take weeks. And if you recall correctly, as we were having the conversation, portion of the conversation was related to that the person that had done some of this stuff was dressed up as a police officer as he was knocking on doors, or the person, because it never deemed the sex, was actually knocking on doors and doing this and causing all of this to occur in Canada, which was known as being one of the largest mass shootings in Canadian history. So I look at this and I go, this is crazy for the time, because we know right now, depending on where you're located, there are a lot of people in lockdown, in quarantine, depending on how you want to look at this. So the timing was had to be planned for this to work out. I mean, if you dress up as a police officer and you're not a police officer, of course, there's a plan associated to it. Now, I still think it's one of those deep, dark stories, and I don't want to try to be comedy hour here in that particular portion of the conversation, but it's just something to think about on how screwed up some of these things are inside of society on how these things do occur. But that's something that I wanted to discuss with you as we are having these conversations here. Anyways, let's continue down the path here. Did you hear about this? This was a story that started taking place back in 2017. In the summer of 2017, Christian Lewis set on a 3-year, 8,700-mile journey to walk across every inch of the Great Britain coastline. Yeah, the coastline. So by March of this year, he ended up in, I'm going to probably butcher the name, Shetland Islands off of Scotland, just as Britain started locking down. Lewis has been held up in Hildesay Island, is how I think that the name reads there, which is less than half of a mile, less than a square mile, and has no permanent residence. There is, however, an empty cottage that he's been permitted to use by the owner, who got wind of Lewis's online updates. He receives water from a local fisherman and takes a short boat trip to the mainland for food services or food supplies, depending on what's available, when he and his dog, Jet, can make it over there on. Well, they can't make it over there on their own, so they normally have to take a ride for it. So it's crazy, you know, if you take a look at it, the guy went on this venture, and then this has actually played a factor to what he had going on. So 8,700 miles, over 3 years of him doing this on having it getting set up. But this has disrupted part of the journey.
Duh.
And we kind of all knew automatically that the coronavirus was going to play a big factor once some of the shutdowns started taking place, because I don't think that a lot of people would have predicted that we would be in the scenario that we're in today, but I think we already know this as we move forward. Anyways, if you're an NFL fan, and especially if you're a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you might be excited today. Rob Gronkowski has come out of retirement to play alongside former teammate Tom Brady on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gronk, who had left about a year on his contract with the New England Patriots, was traded by his former team for a 4th-round draft pick. He signed a 1-year, $9 million deal with the Bucs. So good for him. I know that as of recent, he was supposedly had just signed with the World Wrestling Entertainment. And I think that he was either becoming a sports guy for them or maybe even a wrestler, as they like to say. So I don't know what ended up occurring there. So if he did sign, that was very, very short-lived, as you can already tell.
Duh.
Also, the other side to it, though, it will make it pretty interesting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, assuming when the NFL will resume to playing again. Of course, you know, they were in the offseason already, but do you think we're going to start seeing the preseason games? Do you think things will go back to norm by the time that the football season is supposed to start? I don't know. I take a look at it and go, hey, things are the way that they are right now, and I have no clue what's going to happen next.
Rated R Safety Show.
Sarcastic? Never.
So, anyways, that's just part of the gig there. As London remains on lockdown, 80% of British parents say that their families are closer than ever. I wonder if that's figuratively speaking. I just kind of wonder.
Duh.
Anyways, another 30% have formed family book clubs, and just over a fourth have taken up gardening. So I don't know, what are you doing during this quarantine time if you're not an essential worker? If you're not doing essential work, what exactly are you doing for the time being? Also, if you want to interact with the show for the time being to answer some of these questions, we are available at safetyfm.tv. You can go to one of the chat boxes there if you don't want to go to the different social medias. And we do have a chat box. And yes, the moment you click on it, it will say that you'll need to be 18 or years or older to be able to interact. And that's perfectly fine. If you're listening to us on the radio station, you don't have to interact unless you want to. You're more than welcome to. And of course, if you're listening to the podcast and you try to go back over there and interact, well, you might be a little bit late to the game. And that's perfectly fine because those things happen. It's okay. The great thing is that we try to give you the options available that you don't have to listen to this thing in real time. Some people like that. Some people hate it. Some people go, Jay, what the hell's wrong with you? With you not wanting to do this where everybody's listening at one time. The point is to get the messaging across. However you deem this messaging, because I'm sure as hell have not figured out what the hell this messaging is.
Duh.
But I look at it and we talk about a lot of different shit on this show. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. Some people get upset by the things that I say. Some people don't care about the things that I say. Some people just are here to be here, and that's perfectly fine. So anyways, Italy's prime minister is eyeing May 4th as a date to reopen the country, but will do so in a cautious and calculated manner. So think about that. So far, 24,100 have died there. The Italian government is developing its own business bailout program worth about $54 billion. Details are expected to be finalized at the end of the month. So 24,100 people in Italy so far have died. You know, I have such a hard time when we start thinking about this. Because you look at it and you go, think about the impact that one person has when they pass away. Someone you know. Think about that. Somebody who had passed away that you know. And I can't fathom 24,100 people. I can't sit here and go that I can even imagine the impact that that has in a country, especially if some of those people are related, on how that impacts some of the families and so on. I mean, you have to take a look at it and go, there's so many different things that you hear from the media that it makes it so difficult to understand of, is this true? Is this not true? You take a look at it as well and go, okay. Some people say that some of the information that we're getting is very Democratic driven. Some of the information that we're getting is very Republican driven, and they're trying to make it like a part, like they're trying to make it that it's related to politics. Some people turn around and tell you, hey, if we, you know, here in, I'm just going to throw out places. Here in Florida, we won't be as bad as they are in Georgia because we've been able to control it. It's not like it stops at a state line. It's not like it determines, oh, okay, we're going to stop right here. We're about to go from one state to another. We're going to go from another, from one country to another. So, I mean, I look at it and I go, you know, I look at the science background that I have and I listen to the different things that Fauci says. And he talks a lot about models and how they're using models based on what the information they have. So the more data that they get, of course, the more things change. And it seems like a lot of people have difficulties with that of, well, Fauci said this on one day, and then he changed the numbers, and then now is this. When you have a model, the more information you have, the better the model becomes. So more data, the things change, because you're qualifying everything. It's not like the data set is set, and it's not going to move. You have to get the data and change it as you move forward. The data will determine the outcome. Now, the problem is that sometimes some people already have a predetermined outcome of what they're looking for. And yeah, I'm going to probably catch some crap for that one.
Duh.
But it's the truth. Most of the times people go, okay, well, this is what I'm expecting to happen at the end of the cycle. Because you have to have somewhere where you think it's going to go. It's not always the best way to start. And I'm not saying that that's what he's doing, but he has some data that he was working with, and that's how he got the whole thing started. So think about that as you hear these different news stories.
This show is almost as enjoyable as hearing the sound of the toilet flush.
Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show.
Self-implode on our airwaves only on Safety FM.
Okay, so just days after protesters gathered in Kentucky to oppose the shutdown restrictions, the state reported that the biggest single day increase in cases was Sunday. Kentucky also conducted double the tests it had the previous day, and nearly three times as many as it had on Thursday before, as the percentage was only 11% of those were tested positive. On a typical day over the last 10 days in the state, the average rate of positive tests have been 28.25. So, of course, right away, it's so easy that we can sit here and talk about this, and this can become, oh, Jay, you're trying to hide some political shit inside of what you're talking about.
Duh.
And that's not the case, so let's make sure that we're clear here. I'm giving you information that's vetted. So the information that I get is the information that I find online, and I do a little bit more research opposed to just going, oh, this is it, and we're going to run with it. Because here's the problem. I'm not saying that some of the people that are out there are incorrect in saying that we should reopen. I'm not saying they're correct either. There's a lot of info out there, and yes, some states have done things, some other states haven't done anything. Some people are complaining because they feel like their rights are being taken away. There's some people on the news that are saying your rights are being taken away. Hey, you have to look at it and do whatever you think is best for you. I will tell you, for me personally, if everything was to open tomorrow, and they said you could go out and do whatever you wanted, blah, blah, and the virus is still out there, but you just need to be careful, I'm probably not going out. I'm probably not going to let the majority of my family go out, especially my younger kids, to do anything. Now, if my wife wants to do something, that's entirely up to her. But I think that we would have to have that conversation on what's going to be makes the most logical sense. But that's my opinion. Now, head of household, family, partner, whatever you are, you have to make the decision that's best for you. I don't think you can let somebody determine who's on the news, who's in the media, on what you need to do. I don't think that that brings validity to what's going on. You have to make your own determination. This is why you constantly, constantly, constantly hear me say, vet the story. And it's like, well, Jay, you say that all the time. So think about it this way. If you need an assistance, think about it like this. Vet the story. Vet the story. Vet the story. Vet the story. And I want that to burn into your mind. Vet the story. I read something a few days ago. Somebody, a friend of mine sent it to me. And it says, whoever controls the media controls the mind. Is there truth to that? To some extent. Absolutely. And that's a whole other thing that we can go down if you'd like. But a lot of it looks into what you are watching on TV, where you're getting your news from. This is why I avoid trying to get all of my news from one source. And now I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I only get it from two.
Duh.
Because that's pretty stupid. That's probably a shitty thing to do in the long run. So I look around and go, hey, these are the things that I'm finding. These are the things that I want to share. Now, as we build our relationship, you and I, 100 and whatever episodes in. The discussion that I want to have is open and honest on where some of this stuff comes from. It's not Jade's, you know, news center here that's coming up with this information. And no, I don't hang out on MSNBC and hang out on Fox and CNN, and that's where all my news stuff comes from. Now, I do look at some of their stuff, and then I kind of go around and try to find out where some additional information might be available.
Duh.
So anyways, let's continue. Participating McDonald's restaurants providing free meals for healthcare workers, police officers, firefighters, and paramedics starting today. To get a thank you meal, you'll need to provide identification. The menu is limited, though. For breakfast, you can get an egg McMuffin or bacon, or a bacon McMuffin, I guess is what it is, egg and cheese biscuit, plus a soft drink, tea, coffee, plus a hash brown. For the rest of the day, pick between a double cheeseburger, six piece McNugget, a Filet-O-Fish, which comes with a drink of choice, and fries. The deals go through May the 5th, and is limited to one per person per day. I will tell you, and you know this, because we've had this discussion on several ones of these episodes, I'm not a huge fan of McDonald's. Don't like their food, don't think it's good for you, my personal opinion. But something like this, where they're going out of their way to assist in feeding people that are putting it all on the line, you have to appreciate organizations that are going on out there and doing that. Yeah, it's a limited menu. Yeah, some people can complain and bitch about it and say, oh, why aren't they giving them, you know, the Big Mac and the Quarter Pounder and whatever the hell they want. You have to do whatever was in reason. Keep in mind that a lot of the McDonald's are owned by independent franchisees.
Duh.
So they're not all corporate locations. So take a look at it and think about it that way. I'm glad that some people are stepping up in these hard times and doing some things out of the ordinary for people. I mean, let's be real here. The people that are in the front line are putting their ass on the line there. Some of these people are going out of their way where they're not even being able to spend time with their family because of the work that they're going out there and doing. And yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, they're putting their life at risk to be able to help others. And we tend to forget that from time to time. It's important to realize what people are sacrificing. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on online where these people are talking about that they're doing the stuff that they're doing to make sure that we stay home as they're trying to help us. Yeah, spin it how you want. Look at it how you want. But I think it's important. You have to give them the opportunity to do what they want. I mean, they're putting their life out there. If you're providing food for them, great for you. You know, it's a good thing that McDonald's has stepped up and decided to do this. Not my favorite food, but you have to appreciate the things that some organizations are out there are doing.
You are listening to a radio god. What? This has to be an error. That host is not a radio god. Anyways, this is the Rated R Safety Show on Safety FM.
Oh, yeah. Rated R Safety Show, Safety FM. You're listening to us on safetyfm.live, safetyfm.com, or you can be watching us on safetyfm.tv, depending on how you want to do this thing. Also, the other side here is you could be listening to us in a podcast format. Also, let's continue down the news cycle here. Netflix picked up 16 million subscribers between January and the end of March, shattering any previous quarterly records. In total, it has about 182.8 million subscribers now. That's 2.3 million of those were in the United States and Canada. Hold on. That has to sound wrong. 2.3 million of those were in the United States and Canada. That must be the addition part. Not in total. Could you imagine only 2.3 million subscribers from the United States and Canada are from the 182.8 million? Something tells me that's wrong.
Duh.
Man, I'm just saying. Stop picking. Anyways, Oktoberfest has been canceled in Germany. Just as the country begins its reopening process, the decision has been made by Bavaria's ministry's president of Munich and mayor in attempt to not create a petri dish of coronavirus resurgence. Germany has one of the most successful mitigation programs, counting 147,500 cases and 4,860 deaths. So think about that. We are currently sitting here right now in the month of April, and we're already talking about stuff that's canceled in October. 6 months. 6 months away. Already being canceled. I look at it and I go, what the hell else is going to happen? And I'm not saying they're doing the wrong thing. Believe me, they have something they've been doing right. If you take them out of the cases and the amount of people that have died so far, still having a huge impact. Don't disregard that.
Duh.
Think about it. So if they were able to mitigate that much, and keep in mind the size of the country, because some other asshole is going to turn around and say, well, Jay, they're much smaller than the U.S. Well, I know this. But think about it. Think about what they were able to do. Let's continue following the rollout of the New York City snitch line to report people who aren't social distancing. The texting platform has been predictably inundated with photos of penises and Hitler memes. Yeah, you heard me correctly there. The New York Post reports that it was not immediately clear whether the texters were even in New York City. So you opened up a snitch line for people that are not social distancing, and people are sending pictures of their pecker.
Duh.
Or somebody else's pecker.
Duh.
And memes of Hitler. Wow, talk about a snitch line there, huh? So let's talk about some other stuff real quick before I get too far and too deep into this thing. I don't know if I should be talking about far and deep after talking about a pecker.
Duh.
But let's go with to you this way.
Here is our main story on the Rated R Safety Show.
So if you were taking a listen to some of the different things that were occurring yesterday, I want you to take a listen to this one. Some analysts in the financial world have been asking this question. When will Disney World and Disneyland reopen? One analyst predicts that it might not be until 2021. A financial analyst has made headlines on Monday when he predicted that Disney World, Disneyland, and companies' overseas properties won't reopen until January of 2021. John Hudelik, the managing director of investment research global financial firm for UBS, estimated that the health and economic concerns would keep the parks closed through 2020 in his report titled The Eye of the Storm. Now, The Eye of the Storm is available online. You can find it if you go looking for it. We believe the park's profitability will be impaired for a longer period of time given the lingering effects of the outbreak, and now assume that the opening date won't be until January the 1st. As our base case, this is what Hudelik wrote. That said, that the economic recession plus the need of social distancing, new health precautions, the lack of travel, and crowd aversion are likely to make businesses less profitable until there is a widely available vaccine. Now, of course, the report goes into a lot more information. Also, he did reference a cut in price in Disney stock, but I don't think that that's important for what we're talking about here. So I want you to think about that as we move forward. If this is the case, we are talking now using Orlando as an example, and I'll just reference Orlando because, you know, Disney is a huge part of the Orlando economy, as is Universal and SeaWorld. And I'm not trying to go region specific, but I want you to think a lot of people from different parts of the world come here.
Duh.
And they come here for the portion of going to the happiest place on earth. Now, if you're coming to the happiest place on earth and one of your main concerns is the coronavirus and what health precautions Disney has taken, you might actually want to skedaddle and not come here. And I can understand that. And if Disney has not responded to this report that came out on Monday, so a lot of people are wondering how accurate this gentleman is about what he's saying. Now, if the accuracy is on point, we're talking now a good another, what are we, April? So we're going to be looking December. So keep in mind, there's so many things that won't occur at Disney as we speak. And the other thing that comes to mind right away is if you have the opportunity to come to Disney and everything in Disney, and there's nothing wrong with Disney, and there's nothing wrong with Universal. Let's kind of make sure that we're clear here, because I don't want there to be confusion. But nothing has changed from how they do things health-wise. Are you going to want to come? Universal had sent out a survey earlier that was asking if they were to reopen and took away parades, took away indoor attractions, removed 3D glasses as part of their precautions, would you still be interested in coming? Now, I started to think about that after, you know, I was reading that news story. And I was wondering, what exactly is left if you do remove all the stuff that they're saying? Are you going for the shows? Are you going for the outdoor attractions? I mean, we're now talking roller coasters, I'm assuming. Because I look at it, let me just use an example. If I go to the Harry Potter ride where you're riding the damn broomstick thing, that's indoors with 3D glasses. And keep in mind that at Universal, there's a lot of simulators. Disney World's so big that there's a large cluster of stuff to do. And if they were going down that same process, one of their popular attractions, like the small, it's a small world after all, or whatever the hell it's titled, that's indoors if they were following the same process. Space Mountain is indoors. I don't know. I mean, and it really makes you start to think. We're talking about Disney World. We're talking about Universal Studios. Now, Disney World was one that's factored here. But this is what we're talking about. So how does that work? Does that make sense? Does that change anything? From a health and safety perspective, it's crucial. We can't have people coming in and being sick. How would you feel if you're going to a theme park and they want to take your temperature? How would you feel if you went to a theme park, the happiest place on the planet, and nothing against Disney, please understand that.
Duh.
And they tell you you have to wear a mask. Are you going to be okay with that? Is it going to take away from it being the happiest place on the planet? Because let's just be realistic. A lot of adults that go, they want to relive their childhood. They want to relive everything that they were able to experience as a child. They want to see it from their point of view of their kids on how they're loving life. But how does it look if I put a mask on? How does it look if you're doing a temperature check? How does it look if you have spacing of 6 feet between your family and the next set of people? Does that change the dynamic? The Haunted Mansion, one of the rides that I love at Disney, always have, probably always will, since I was a kid, I really liked that ride. That's indoors. How does that change? And do you have to clean the ride after each individual person gets off now? I mean, there's so many questions there. And believe me, I want Disney to succeed. I want Universal to succeed. I won't talk about SeaWorld because it's not going to be positive. But I want most of these places to succeed. But what do you think? If you had the opportunity to go, if they told you tomorrow you could go to Disney, would you go? With everything being exactly the same before a lot of things closed down. Would you do it? If they put restrictions in place, how soon would you go? What are you thinking about doing first once this is done? If you're in an area that's being restricted, are you going to travel? Are you going to jump on a plane? Are you going to go visit someone? Are you going to go here? Are you going to go there? What is your plans? How much money are you planning on spending? And I know it's a lot of questions, but this is what we're looking at. So this is why this guy is saying that their stock is going down. This is why he's assuming that they're not going to reopen until January. And I don't know how far off he actually is. I mean, we're talking months. Now, I'll tell you, by no way would I ever guess in my lifetime we would see this. So I keep on going, wow, how is that going to work? I keep on going, what's going to happen? But keep in mind that a lot of the economy, and I'll use this as an example, the hotel services, the transportation services, some of the restaurants and things that happen in the area are surrounded based on the what Disney attracts to the area. And even some of these side things that happen in Disney, like the International Drive section and some of the smaller theme parks, are people that are kind of there because of them coming to Disney or Universal. So I don't know what it's going to look like. And I keep on hoping, believe me, I keep on hoping that there's some measures that can be put into place. But also the other question that you have to think about right away is that the guy references a vaccine in there. So let's just use hypothetical that there is a vaccine that becomes available. Are you going to be willing to take it right out of the bat? Or will there be some fear about doing so? There's so much data out there that it's kind of hard to say what to do next. Just think about it for a moment, because I really don't know.
We are now video streaming the Rated R Safety Show.
I don't know why our host has a face for radio.
Rated R Safety Show.
So let's talk about the lottery for a moment. No winner for Saturday night's Powerball drawing. Tonight's drawing will be for $29 million jackpot or a $23.8 million cash payout. So hopefully, you know, if you play that kind of stuff, good luck. Hopefully something good happens out of that, because you never know what's going to happen. Anyway, some information. I am kind of a fan of Batman, just so you know. So the Batman movie was originally scheduled to hit theaters on June of 2021. It will now be released in October of 2021, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Don't know if that's important to you, but wanted to share that because I think it's interesting. I don't know, because I keep on wondering how theaters are going to look. Now, they are saying that starting next week, like in the state of Georgia, theaters will start to reopen. So I want to see what that's going to look like, what's going to come out of that. Not that I am saying I agree, but I'm just saying in general. Anyways, Jon Bon Jovi has canceled his 2020 tour in light of the coronavirus pandemic. The tour was set to kick off in June, but will be rescheduled. In the meantime, Bon Jovi has been helping those in need at his JBJ Soul Kitchen Community Restaurant, as it is set to appear on the New Jersey's Pandemic Relief Fund Jersey for Jersey Benefit show. Now, I want to tell you something about this. That Bon Jovi or JBJ Soul Kitchen Community Restaurant, they don't charge for you to eat there. You get to go there, and they want you to pay what you think that's adequate for your food. That's something, and I think that there's three of them open, and it's something that he's been doing that he decided to do, and I think it's such a great idea. I wish, you know, that there was more places that could do that. And you know, and maybe, you know, you go in, you pay $20 for food if you can afford it, but he says even at the $20 level that you're helping so many other people out by not even knowing it as you do so. So before I get too deep again into some of this other stuff, let me talk to you real quick about something that was happening right before I got on. So the U.S. House to pass nearly a $500 billion in the coronavirus aid, and this is supposed to be signed off on tomorrow. The U.S. House of Representatives will pass the Congress' latest coronavirus aid bill on Thursday, according to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, paving the way for nearly $500 billion more in economic relief amid the pandemic. So Pelosi was on this morning at MSNBC, and I believe she was on the Morning Joe show. Now, let me kind of tell you what the package consists of. The bipartisan package is for $484 billion, and it passed a Republican-led U.S. Senate on Tuesday. It includes an additional $321 billion for previously set up for small business lending programs that quickly saw the funds exhausted. It also includes $60 billion in separate emergency disaster loan program, also for small businesses, $75 billion for hospitals, and $25 billion for national coronavirus testing. So if that's to go through, that is to aid and alleviate some of the pains and struggles that some of the small businesses are having out there. So I think it would be great if that was to occur. So hopefully something will take place relatively quick here. So I don't know. I look at it and I go, I think this is great information. I will tell you that what happened was with a lot of the stuff of the that came out right away with the coronavirus relief funds or the PPP, most banks were running it like it was their own, like they were setting it up for their own banking. So that's why you saw some of these larger chains like the Ruth Chris of the world get $20 million and not a small business. This is why you saw someone like Shake Shack offer $10 million. They turned it down, of course. But this is what we're talking about. So pretty interesting stuff there. Anyways, what's going on? As you can see here in this little lovely world of ours. So let's continue down the path and talk about a couple of more things. Here we go. Let's talk about the days of the year that you can celebrate today. If you didn't know already, today is National Earth Day. National Girl Scout Leaders Day. National Jelly Bean Day. National Administrative Professionals Day. And National Book Mobile Day. Well, I want to let you know, because we haven't spoke about it. A lot of people are interacting with that episode that we had of the Jay Allen Show. With Uncle Bill. So if you haven't taken a listen to it, please feel free on coming by safetyfm.com and click on the Jay Allen Show and you can download that episode. You might enjoy it. There's been a lot of information that's come about. Some more questions that came up that people want to know the answers to from Bill's perspective. So I'm sure that we will have Bill on very, very soon. A lot sooner than probably most think. Anyways, you've been listening to the Rated R Safety Show. I know who you are, but hold on. Before we get too far, what if I gave you something that I gave you yesterday? A lot of you enjoyed it. You asked me if I would play the full thing. So let's go full version and then we'll go.
Hold up. Things go wild when I pull up. They all on me like a one thing. Think I got what you need, well, I have none. Hop off, you're a freak and I'm handsome. Slide up in the club like 2 Chainz. This snake is on top of the food chain. Stand out like a star, no new name. All these friends in my DMs, no message back. I just see them, I get them hooked and I really don't throw them back when it comes in. I'm a snake on this plane, I'm speeding my voice in the frame. I'm happy that I'm made of pain. We're dripping in the venom, so baby.
I'm a VIP.
Selection. Never hugs or connections. I just constrict and reject them. I make my snake hold transactions. Inject my papers and stack them.
All these words and ideas. No message back. I just see them. I get them hooked and I really don't throw them back when it comes easy. I'm a snake on this plane. I'm spreading my voice in the flame. I'm happy to hold me to play. I'm drinking the venom so bad. I'm a VIP.
listen to our host
of the Rated R Safety Show.
Self-implode on our airwaves, only on Safety FM.
Okay, so some changes coming to Safety FM, just so you know. We're going to have a little bit more of a discussion about that next week. Right now, at the top of the hour, if you stay on through the radio station, you'll be able to get to take a listen to Mike Sedam, also some feature story news. Also, about at the 12:30 mark, our time, you should actually have just dropped the newest episode of the Safety Justice League. So if you are listening to the podcast version, you might want to take a listen to that. And even if you're not listening to the podcast version, please go out there, take a listen. You got some more information out there that we can share. Anyways, I always appreciate you being the best part of Safety FM, and that is the listener. You know who I am. I know who you are. Love you, mean it. Bye.
Duh.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Duh.